past couple of weeks, we have been thinking about some important things to think about at the early part of this year, and we still are in the early part of this year, although much time has gone by already, and we have talked about some important things. And this morning, I would like to start talking about a very important topic for us to think about as a core essential, about generosity. And I would like to finish it next Sunday. So this is kind of a two-part series within a series as we think about generosity. We have looked at this passage briefly when I did a message last year called Trinity Strong. So if it sounds a little bit familiar, we've talked a little bit about it, but I want to expand on it a little bit more. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10 is a passage this morning. I'll go ahead and read it for us. You can read along in your Bibles or up on the screens. Luke 19, 1 through 10. He entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. If I've defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. And the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Please join me in a brief word of prayer. We pray for the upcoming Alpha course. Even as I was up late last night talking to my neighbors, encouraging them to take a step of faith to think about learning more about you, I pray that you would pour mightily your spirit upon Alpha and the 30-plus participants that are already signed up who may or may not be followers of Jesus, that you would work to transform. We thank you, Lord, for all that you are doing in our midst. Thank you that we have a family to call home here at Trinity. Some of us have been through a lot, as Jamie has shared, even in this past week or so, fighting our battles, experiencing loss, our faith being tried and tested. But we take time to hear from you through your word. I pray that your spirit, who is already mightily present, would speak into the depths of our being as we look at the life of one person who found you in a life-changing encounter. We lift it up to you in this early part of the year. In the name of Jesus, amen. We'll talk about three things this morning: that genuine generosity is one of our greatest needs. Generosity begins with a gracious invitation, and generosity is a response to extraordinary goodness. In verses 1 through 3, we see our passage opened up here in the Gospel of Luke, that generosity is one of our greatest needs. Jesus passing through Jericho, and here was a man named Zacchaeus. He was not only a tax collector, that in the gospel is this almost synonymous for sinner and outcast, as with the prostitute, the unclean, the diseased, the foreigner, the Gentile. But he was the chief. Notice that. And he was rich. He would have been seen as an outcast, an apostate. He would be seen as one who was willing to betray his people, the Jews. Why? For money. Because he was appointed as the boss, the godfather, the king of the other tax collectors, to collect taxes from the people for Rome, backed by military force. That's what we call extortion today. He was extremely wealthy, powerful, influential, and also most hated by his own people. He was the head of all the tax collectors. So he was not lacking for prestige. He was not lacking for finances, dollars, money, power. He had it. And yet in his wealth and success, albeit through ill-gotten gains, means, he was desperate to experience true generosity. It's not just him, but it is all of us today. Generosity is extremely powerful because that is the way God has made us, to receive generosity and to give it. People, I believe, are dying to experience genuine generosity. We're not talking just about putting a dollar in a homeless man's cup. We're not just talking about money when we talk about generosity. We're talking about all that is associated with that, with love and kindness and respect. And as I've been reminded of a few years back, that generosity is the new evangelism. People don't want to hear us bashing them over the heads with the Bible. That's not to say that we're ashamed of the scriptures and ashamed of Jesus. No, we need to proclaim it boldly. But we do pre-evangelism, and we share the reality of our faith through generosity. Because all of us are wired to experience generosity, and we're wired by God to give it away. And so as we think about pursuing God and his passion for people, I believe that we are on our way as we think about all that is happening here at Trinity, because I believe we are a generous congregation. And we're seeing many lives being touched, even in this past year, because we are beginning to get it. Generosity is one of our greatest needs today. Zacchaeus was one who, although was extremely wealthy and powerful, was desperate to experience a true generosity in his life. Biblical generosity, though, is experienced, secondly, through a gracious invitation. In verses 4 through 7, we see this hunger for this generosity, in that he heard rumors about Jesus, some kind of powerful, radical, new, young rabbi, teacher, could maybe heal the sick, had some kind of power or connection with God. All he knew was as he heard the crowds gathering and Jesus was passing through his town, he had to get a glimpse, lest he miss it. And so he climbed up a tree in order to get a glimpse of something about this Jesus that he knew that money could not buy and fill in his heart. He desperately wanted to see Jesus. And that desperation and hunger momentarily superseded and blinded his fear and his present reality of being hated by his own people. They considered him a betrayer, an apostate, a robber who stole money from them. He forgot about all that, and he climbed up a tree. Old men do not climb trees. But there was something going on, drawing him to see Jesus, that was unbecoming of a man of his age and his accomplishments and his wealth. He did not care. Because he was hearing the voice of God calling him, inviting him, drawing him in order to get a glimpse of Jesus. And here we see Jesus stop, look up, and not say, "Hey, you chief of the tax collectors, Zacchaeus," his name. "Hurry and come down. I must stay at your house today, right now." And so he hurried, came down, and received him joyfully. And you know what he was going through in his situation, because the people grumbled, "He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." No different than the foreigners, the outcasts, the prostitutes. And yet Jesus singled him out of everyone and invited himself basically into his home to have dinner together. As this invitation was given to Zacchaeus to experience a kind of true generosity that all his wealth and money and power could not buy. Our God is a generous God. That is the heart of the gospel. We see what this did to Zacchaeus in verses 8 through 10. This was not just mere cultural hospitality. But something about this invitation of Jesus and this encounter as he experienced, thirdly, generosity is a response to extraordinary goodness. "Behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." Jesus says, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Salvation did not come because he gave away his money first, It wasn't because he had such a good meal with Jesus. He was just feeling good and kind of a little emotionally excited and gave away his money as a kind of a charity. Money was his God. It's how he found his significance and worth as a human being and as a man. And yet when he experienced a kind of goodness in Jesus and his personal invitation by name to have time with him in his home and to share a meal, something changed deeply within him. Money was his God. It had power over him. That which we fear and worship is our God as well. It enslaves you. It will destroy you. And religion says that if you don't pay enough, give enough, sacrifice enough, you will displease that God and no longer be blessed. What he once used to find his worth and identity, he now turned it around to bless others as a sign of the power and transforming goodness of God in Jesus. He pledged to give away half of his wealth. And not only that, but to do mercy and justice. The Mosaic law would only require a 20% interest to be paid back if he defrauded or stole from someone. He said, I will do it fourfold. Zacchaeus became radically generous, not to get into the generosity club and earn it, but because he experienced personally the extraordinary goodness of God in Jesus. When we experience that kind of goodness in our lives, we cannot help but to respond with radical generosity. We are not just talking about dollars and money, but every aspect of our hearts and lives. As one pastor put it, that the solution to stinginess is a reorientation to the generosity of Christ found in the gospel, how he poured out his wealth for you. For you know, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. Does your life reflect a supernaturally grace-changed heart that overflows with generosity because you have tasted the goodness of God? Your time, your energy, your concern, your care, your love, your resources, everything about you, does your life reflect that? Or do we constantly calculate, worry, what will this cost me? How will this burden me? Do you know and have you experienced the gospel of overwhelming goodness? Pastor Keller says that money is one of the most common counterfeit gods there is. When it takes hold of your heart, it blinds you to what is happening. It controls you through your anxieties and lusts, and it brings you to pull it ahead of all other things. When Jonathan was much younger, he, in his school, had prepared for Parents' Day visit, and it was specifically Dad's Day visit. We were planting a church at this time, and I was incredibly busy, and I know that at that time, I was not being a good dad. My work was consuming me. My children were being neglected. I did not want to take time out as we're trying to get a church started in Chicago to hear a little presentation by my boy. Kathy forced me to go. And there, as all the dads were instructed to sit in a circle on the ground, my son approached me, stood right in front of me, and began to sing, D-A-D, Dad, you're my best friend. Thank you for taking me to recess to play. You're my D-A-D, you're my dad, and you're my best friend. Knowing I wasn't being a good father at that time, and seeing this little creature, my son, this little man, singing with such a childlike, pure heart, Dad, you're my best friend. I was experiencing an undeserved goodness from my son. And have you ever been in that situation where you're so touched by goodness that your heart is about to burst open? There was not a single thing I wouldn't do for my son as he sang that song to me when I knew I wasn't being a good father at that time. You see, when you experience extraordinary goodness, you respond with extraordinarily great generosity that flows naturally out of your life. Who am I to deserve this goodness? Who of us have not received a second, third, and fourth chance from God? Who of us should not even be alive here this morning worshiping Christ? God gave us another chance even physically to live. He is good. How many of us have committed grievous sin and yet he has forgiven us and loves us as if it never happened because of what his son has done for us on the cross? Have we forgotten the extraordinary goodness of the cross and the love of Jesus Christ over our lives? A God of second, third, and fourth chances. And when we forget, we do not practice generosity. Zacchaeus that afternoon experienced the kind of transformation that only can happen when you experience a touch of heaven down into your undeserving heart as an outcast, a man who lived in darkness, who needed to experience not just kindness, but the generosity of God found in the person of Jesus. Undeserved grace, unconditional love, and through that, a life transformed. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, Romans 8:32, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Church, do we really believe the gospel? That if he sent the greatest treasure, his son, and died a real death, do we doubt his love, protection, guidance, and care for us? How many times has he sought after us because we are so good at getting lost? Look to him to answer that question. Is God good and gracious? Would he not give us all things? I believe that there are only two ways to live. What can I get? Or I've experienced an extraordinary goodness from heaven above. I've experienced the goodness of God in loved ones, a mom, a dad, a friend, a pastor, a counselor, a leader that poured love into my life. The second way to live, because of that, what can I now give? And we hear stories of those, even on their deathbed, who are constantly thinking about, how can I minister? How can I give? How can I bless? How can I lessen the burden of the doctors and nurses? Because there's only two kinds of hearts. What can I get? What can I give? And the gospel changes us so that we live to give. Three things and I'll end. We can ask ourselves, how has generosity changed your life? We're not just talking about money. Whom has God brought into your life from your birth till now that has been so generous? And because of that, you are who you are today. Generosity is transformative. Secondly, why is the gospel a gospel of generosity? And we forget that. And we wonder, when the world looks to the church, they have no desire to be a part of it. A gospel that is a true gospel from the Bible, centered in the person of Jesus, is a gospel of extraordinary generosity. And thirdly and finally, in what ways is God inviting you to journey in generosity? Just as Jesus invited Zacchaeus, who had so much and yet was dying to experience true generosity, he was invited to experience it. How is God working in your life in such a way that he is inviting you in the most impactful ministry of all to be generous in every aspect of your life? A church that can learn this will see amazing impact in the communities in which they are ministering in, because it is that which people are starving for. May we continue to grow, as I believe we are a generous church. But as we continue to grow, and stay tuned for part two next week, see how critically important this core essential is as God continues to pour out his generosity over you and I. With that, let us pray. Father, we confess that so often we complain of how little we have and how can we be generous and give of ourselves when we're just struggling to keep from sinking. And yet for those of us that know and love Jesus, we have been given the greatest treasure of all, in the person of your Son, Jesus. I pray, Father, that you would awaken us once again to hear our name called personally and to see Jesus inviting us in once again to journey with him on a journey of generosity. Teach us, Father, the heart of the gospel, a love that has been poured upon our lives through your Son. the parents, the children, the friends that you have given to us that have blessed us in immeasurable ways, showing us your face and goodness. We are richly blessed. Help us to take those things, and as a church community and as individuals and families, be a people known for radical generosity in a world that is dying to experience this in the person of Christ. We thank you that you are a God who has given us so many chances, a God that forgives not only the Zacchaeuses of this life, but that you have forgiven and loved me by name. Remind us of this once again as we realize how important generosity is in the church and in our world today.